We have with us right now the lovely Martha Davis. You know where you love her from the Motels. And I love her music, and I'm so happy because now not only do I have her on the phone with me in a working line and with working equipment, but I also have this DVD in my hands. It's called Martha Davis and the Motels, The Motels Live at the Whiskey A Go-Go 50th Anniversary Special. It's fantastic. It's got all their great songs on it, and you can actually watch them yourself, kind of like being in the audience. It's great.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, the only thing, it doesn't come with any of the drugs, though, but it's, you know, other than that, it's pretty good.
So. Yeah, the Whiskey's a great place. It was such a fun night. It was my birthday that night. It was a packed house, and it actually was kind of a miracle. The manager I was working with, Greg Sims, put it together, and it's not really the way you're supposed to do rock videos, you know, like live concert footage. Usually you try to book like 3 days in a row so you'll have coverage, because inevitably somebody's going to mess up. In the case of the Live at the Whiskey show, it's mostly me because I will skew some lyrics occasionally. But but you usually have plenty of time. And this was just one shot. We went in. This is the live show. What you see is what you got that night. And I think it came out really beautifully, you know?
Yeah, I like it. And you look fantastic, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Uh-huh. You're so sweet.
I am. I am a very sweet guy. Not a good audio technician, but I'm a sweet guy.
We can't have everything.
I guess not.
I would take sweet guy over audio technician any day of the week.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question about, let's go back in time and to when you first started. You started in L.A., and
yeah.
How quickly was it before you catapulted yourself into the Billboard Top 100?
Well, let's actually take this back, because we actually started in Berkeley, California, as a completely different band, which was the Warfield Foxes, and that was our first gig was in 1971.
Wow, okay.
And then we moved to L.A. in 75, I think, and that's where we changed our name to the Motels, and that was the first incarnation of the Motels, and that fell apart. Sadly, the night we had our first record company interest, which is the way bands do it, you know, it's like work, 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 work. Oh, a label's interested. Ah, let's break up. that band broke up, and then in 79, early 79, something like that, it happened really quick. We got, maybe it was late 78, we reformed with the help of Jeff Gerard, and there's a really interesting bit on the DVD where you can watch Jeff Gerard, Dean Chamberlain, who was in the original band, and Robert Newman, who was in the original band, remembering all these things. And it's so funny because I watched their little round table, and we all remember different things, you know.
Yeah.
It's memory.
Yeah.
But they're pretty close to being the facts, you know. I think our collective memory would straighten everything out. But so we were in L.A. with that band from Berkeley and changed our name to the Motels. That band broke up, and then in late 78 or 79, I know we got signed in 79, and we had only been together about 6 months. So
yeah.
It was either late 78 or something.
So,
and we got, well, I can do the math, because yeah. I think it was, we got signed on Mother's Day, which was nice for me, which I think was May 9th in 79, I think. But it's memory. Who has it anymore?
Well, but the main thing is that in the early 80s is when you guys really hit hard with Suddenly Last Summer and Only the Lonely. And
yeah.
Interestingly enough, you were in your early 30s when you guys made it.
Yep.
Which is
no
really...
spring chicken. Yeah.
No,
like
but that's
say.
Cool, though, because a lot of times you make it when you're really, really young. You have no clue about life, and you just, you know. But you were old enough to understand what was going on and to appreciate it. And
well, I wouldn't go that far. I still am wondering about that and myself. it still was a whirlwind. You never quite get, because, I mean, you work and work and work and work. And we had the very strange opportunity when we got signed. Carter, the guy that had expressed interest in us all those years before with the other band, was still the guy that was interested in us when it came time to sign us, Carter at Capitol Records. And he showed back up, and he was so sure that Capitol was going to sign the Motels that he booked the studio time before we ever got signed. And it takes, you know, once you get into the machine, it takes time because there's lawyers and there's contracts and there's this and there's that. Well, the way it turned out, we signed the deal, like I said, on Mother's Day, and the next day we were in the studio. There was no time to reflect on what had happened, and we did an album pretty rapidly, and then we were on tour. And I remember coming to Boston, and that was the first time I ever heard any of my music on the radio. We were in a cab, and they played Dressing Up, and I was just like, whoa, crazy, because Boston was always just our home away from home. It was really the place that got the motels before any place. You guys, Boston and Australia.
You know, someone just told me that that the band was actually called Angels of Mercy at one point.
It was. It was. That was right before we went from the Warfield Foxes to the Angels of Mercy to the motels.
Wow.
Yep.
I kind of like that, Angels of Mercy. That would have been kind of a cool name, too.
Well, you know, it's kind of a cool name, except I kept thinking we should have been serving soup to the homeless or something if we were going to be called Angels of Mercy.
That's true.
Which
maybe it was
not
too goody.
Something I'm not opposed to. I mean, probably something everyone should be doing, but, you know.
Yeah, it might be a too goody two-shoes name. That's kind of true.
The motels is just, I mean, Dean Chamberlain came up with it, and we were actually, the way I remember now, you'll hear it differently on the DVD, but this is exactly what I remember. I remember we were driving down Santa Monica Boulevard on our way to Barney's Beanery, which was our first, I think it was our first gig in Hollywood. And that was where Santa Monica Boulevard used to be, where all the motels were. And he looked, I'm like, I was giving that very argument, you know, Angels of Mercy, we should be doing something for the community, you know. And I'm not sure about that name. And he looked up and he said, what about the motels? And I went, yes, because it's such a great name.
It is.
Because he was just looking at the signs, you know, as they were going by. So
now you guys are Martha Davis in the motels, right?
Yeah, but now we're not going to be anymore. That was kind of like the last management's kind of concept. I mean, we've always been the motels. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And when I was, the problem sort of came about when the band was on Capitol. I refused to have any. I'm like, no, it's not Martha Davis and the Motels. No, don't ever say that. We're a band. We're a band. And I, in a way, it was kind of weird because after I left, you know, after the band broke up and I left Capitol and I wanted to do stuff on my own, I had done such a good job of making it the Motels that nobody really knew who Martha Davis was, which, you know. So there was a little bit of trying to connect those dots, you know. But now this year going out, because we have a new album coming out. We've got, I mean, this band that I've been working with actually longer than the Motels signed to Capitol. These guys I've been with like 13 years now, 14 years.
Wow.
We're having a new album coming out that's fabulous. It's so good. And we're just the Motels. This is the band. I mean, I have other projects where I'm Martha Davis, if it's my kids' songs or my jazz songs, or I'm working on a TV show. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that's Martha Davis, but this band is the Motels.
Wow. So you're just going to call it the Motels. This is featuring Martha Davis, though.
No. I don't need, if we haven't figured that out by now, it's probably, it might be too late.
No, that's true. But I think, well, my own feeling is the Motels are you, because your voice was the key to the success, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, then just call me a motel. You know.
Okay, I'm going to call you a motel.
I really do feel like I have a lot of other, I mean, I have solo albums I put out, and I have things that are not band related, but this is the Motels. This is the band, you know, and that's, And it's so great, and it's such a good band. I mean, you saw the DVD. Those guys are so wonderful. They're just, and we love each other so much. It's just, it's a real rare thing when you get that much talent with that much fun and love involved. I mean, we really are close. We really care about each other, and there's no, you know, everybody's got their unique personalities. I won't take that away from us, but it just we really are a unit, and that's rare. You know, it really is. So, it's a band. That's what it is. That's, and Martha Davis can do whatever she wants on the side.
You know, it's funny because we get a lot of emails here, and when, especially when we mention we're going to be talking with you. And a woman named Judy said to me that one of the nicest albums she's ever heard is something called Beautiful Life.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'd call it nice.
She said it was dark and deep, quote unquote.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a solo album I did about my mom's life and suicide. This is just sort of my retrospect.
Oh.
She's been dead for many, many, many years, but obviously those things affect you deeply.
Wow.
And she was an amazingly beautiful, wonderful, brilliant woman, but just, you know, never could find happiness. And I didn't know until after she died. This is actually a really, this is why I think I did this album was, after she died, I found a diary she'd left, and I read it. I never even knew she had one. It wasn't that complete. It only spanned a period of time, but she really wanted to be an artist. She wanted to be a writer. She was a brilliant, you know, she was a literary major, and she wanted to be Virginia Woolf or something, you know,
mm-hmm.
and she never did, and it was the 50s, and, you know, you had to be the good wife, and you had to do this and that, and she just ended up, you know, forsaking her dreams and then just being totally unhappy. And it was right when this happened, I was like 20, was right when I wanted to do music. But I was really scared, and I had two kids myself because I got married really young. Mm. Let's call it pregnant, shall we? and so I read this diary, and it was like her coming back from the grave telling me, you have to do this. Don't ignore what, you know, even though the odds of it happening, the odds of you making it are just crazy. I mean, it's not, but, you know, if you don't, then all your life you're haunted by this thing. And I think, you know, that's part of what killed her. She could never realize her own voice and her own dreams. And so out of my mom's suicide probably came the greatest gift she ever gave me. And it was just this really painful, bittersweet, beautiful thing. And so the album is sort of like me trying to put together her journey, because I will never know, you know.
Mm.
When a parent dies right when you're at the age where you can actually speak with them, it's like, it would have been, at that age, would have been when we would have first started being frank with each other, you know, and talking
exactly.
And finding out how a parent works. You know, that takes a while when you're a child, but I'll never really know. And my dad died about a year and a half after that, so I was just on my own.
Wow.
But, yeah, she gave me a great gift in a tragic way.
It's interesting. My dad died when I was in my 20s, and
it's tough.
Yeah, it's very tough.
Because you really, it's like I almost got to know them. You know, you just really don't know what made them tick, you know.
Yeah.
So
they become a little bit more idealized with time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And, you know, she really did give me this. I don't know, had it not been for her suicide, that I would have had the courage to actually do this. Because my dad was like, what are you, you're going to be a musician? Are you crazy? Nobody makes a deal. What are your odds are? Blah, blah, you got two kids. Go back to school. Blah, blah, blah. You know? So there was, on one hand, reality. And then on the other hand, this is my crazy mom going, you know, follow your dreams. So
yeah,
I went with crazy, which is the way I go, usually.
You know, this film, it's amazing to me when you think about who actually put this thing together. It's not like some guy that was following you around that had no credentials, but Roy Wagner is the guy that Emmy winner.
Roy. He's the best in the world. Oh, my God, he's so good.
Yeah. And you also have Denise Faye, who's known from Chicago
and
Burlesque.
And I have become real, real buddies, and I know we're going to be working. In fact, I could see all of us working together again soon, but I love Denise. She is so talented and wonderful. I mean, she did Chicago. She's working on Cher's tour right now. She's just brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, she's a great choreographer.
They both did such an amazing job. And Greg Sims pulling this together and this was his vision. I just, you know, I can't thank him enough for what he did. I think it came out surprisingly beautiful. And I don't usually like concert footage, and especially with me in it, but I really think it kind of worked out, you know?
I think it worked out really well, and for people like myself and folks out there who are big fans of the Motels, you will love this because it's fantastic. It's well put together, and I really enjoyed it.
Great.
So I'm expecting to see you maybe on Dancing with the Stars one of these days?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm a person that I don't like TV in that respect. I love all the new shows that are, like, I love creative television, but those reality shows kind of, although I do like Dr. G, Medical Examiner, I gotta say, she's pretty cool. Dancing with the Stars, like, don't hold your breath. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay, I thought that maybe, that Denise might kind of push you in that direction.
Well, I am pushing her in another direction, so she can leave me out of that one. But no, she's I do have this thing I'm working on that I think she's going to be involved with. So top secret right now. But you might see me on Dancing with the Goats, which that's what I do out at the farm. You know.
You have a farm?
Yep.
Where is the farm?
Outside of up in Oregon.
Oh wow, nice clean air.
Clean air. Very clean air. Yeah. It was frosty today. We had our first frost. So I made pumpkin pies from our pumpkin last night.
Very nice. And what do you have on the farm?
Right now, I had a friend having had some cattle on here, some Scottish Highlanders, a little earlier this year. But right now, it's pretty quiet. We're down to the 3 goats, the 1 duck, the 5 chickens, the 9 cats, the 8 dogs. It's pretty.
And a partridge in a pantry.
Whoever, you know, it's 72 acres. So whoever drifts by, you know, the deer, and I haven't seen the elk yet this year. I'm hoping to.
72 acres,
huh?
It's
so wonderful to come back here because I'm mostly a dirt girl. And, you know, when I go out to play, I always play in cities. So when I come back here, it's definitely my happy spot.
72 acres. It's a lot of space to kind of just relax and get your privacy going.
Yep. It's so grounding and so beautiful, and you can just sit and stare, or you can just take a walk, and it's just beautiful. I love it. I'm very lucky.
You mentioned children. Are any of the your children involved in the arts and music, or?
Nope. They were like, I'm not going to be crazy.
A lot of times, that creativity is in their bloodstream, though.
Well, I think it is. I think it manifests in different ways. I think both of them are creative. But it's just, you know, I can't say, looking back on being raised by a single mom who's trying to be a rock star, is going to make anything in better homes and gardens. You know, it's not really a pretty thing. You know, it was years and years and years because we didn't have, I mean, there was no support system. There was no father around. You know, He never helped in anything, you know. After being an Air Force wife, I never saw him again. And then my parents were both dead. There was no grandparents. We were flying without a net, and it was pretty scary. So I don't think they look back on that as like something they wanted to.
Probably not, but I'll bet you they're really close to you though because of that.
Well, you know, one is very close, and the other one is not, and that's that comes from a lot of that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So it's difficult, you know. I keep my fingers crossed and hope she'll come back. But
So you mentioned that the group is doing working on another CD. And how about you yourself? Are you doing another solo piece too?
Well, I've got this jazz album that I'm dying to get done. It's like kind of like it's good. We did it. It was so cool. We did it the old-fashioned way. We got, you know, a drummer, an upright bass player, Marty Gerard, and myself went in the studio and basically cut it in 2 days, which was like the way they used to make records.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And it's all these, I call it, I have my standards, because they all sound like kind of standards, like Mr. Grey, which is something I wrote when I was 19. You know, it's like these songs come to me over the years, and I just put them all together, or a lot of them together, and said I'm going to make an album out of it. So it's cool, and I really, really like it. But it's been backburnered which happens because we're always in forward motion.
Right.
And it just, I keep wanting Nelson Riddle to rise from the grave and give me a hand, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You know what I find very interesting, though, is that, you're talking about albums. I say that all the time. Of course, now they don't even have CDs anymore. Everything's digital downloads and everything. How is all this stuff changed you in terms of how you're going to market a CD or how you're going to put something out?
Well, we have this discussion all the time, like, we're making an album. And then we look at each other and we're like, then what are we going to do with it? Because it doesn't really. My thing has always been that, you know, if you can create something that has some, you know, some worth beyond the norm, you know, like it really is stand out in some way, or it has some feature, or it's going to give, you know, where people are going to really want to get their hands on it. Now, I know records are coming back, and kind of in a big way. The record pressing plants are so booked, you can't even get one pressed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say I'm a fan of this new model. You know, in some ways it's been wonderful for a million people being able to do what they do, and talent that probably could never figure out how to the old days you'd have to figure out a way to get to the record companies or get them to come to you. You'd either go sit in the office and play a song on an acoustic guitar, or you'd send a demo and pray to God somebody would listen to it. And it was tough, and it was a very gated community with a moat around it. But when you got in, it was, you know, you were, even though I won't say that the record companies weren't screwing you over then as well as now, but you were taken care of. If they decided, like Capitol to me, when I was on Capitol, was an amazing label. And the people that worked there were amazing, and I'm still dear friends with the people that, you know, signed me. They cared. I mean, we didn't have a hit until first album of the Motels didn't happen, except in Australia. Careful didn't happen. Then we tried to give them Apocalypso. They hated that. So it wasn't until the fourth album that we had success in the United States. That's called artist development. That's called sticking to it because you believe in it. You know, and that does not happen anymore.
No.
So the things that you did get in the old days, if you were with the right company and had the right team, was an actual team that was behind you. Right now, it's go it alone, and you and I were both saying how technology is so much fun. But everything right now is based on, you know, social media. You have to be all over that stuff to drive your thing.
Yep.
I will never be Taylor Swift because I have old people's thumbs. You know what I mean? I can't tweet every little thing that I'm doing. Oh, I'm at the goats now. Here I go down the, you know. I'm not going to do it. Not only that, I don't like it.
Are you on Twitter?
I think there is a Twitter account. We're trying to figure that out, you know, and it's one of those areas where I am, let's just say, least effective.
Well, do you know what your Twitter is? Is it at Martha Davis, or is it at the Motels? Is it something else?
You know what? We're going to have somebody find that out for you. Maybe Henry knows these things. I'm horrible at that. I may have.
Are you on Facebook?
Yes, there's a Facebook, Martha Davis and the Motels on Facebook. Or now maybe it's just the Motels. I think we might have changed it back. Let me look. I can go to my computer.
No.
I can talk to him. He knows.
Well, what you can do is you can actually friend me on Facebook too.
I know. I don't. First of all, I don't use it for friends.
It wouldn't be friends. It's actually, I have a fan page, Mark Snyder Radio TV. So it's a fan page.
Okay.
So you can like it, and I'll like your fan page as well.
Yeah.
And I'm on Twitter as well, MediaMan2009.
Well, you know what? Just email me, which is easy, all your infos, and that's MarthaDavis@gmail.com. That's easy.
That's sort of easy, yeah.
That we love.
Yeah.
So when I log in, it's Martha Davis and the Motels, but if I go to the page, it just says the Motels.
Yeah.
So
if you search for either one, you'll probably come up with it, so.
Yeah.
Folks can go over there.
No, I got a Facebook. I got a website. I got some dates posted. I'm trying. I mean, mostly the guys are helping me. There was a period where I had to do it all myself, and I can do it. I don't like it.
No. By the way, you can find Martha, her website is MarthaDavis.com, and also themotels.com as well.
But
you can get the Motels CD, the DVD, the Motels Live at the Whiskey A Go Go 50th anniversary.
It comes in Blu-ray, too.
It's in Blu-ray, too. Yeah, I have the regular DVD. But because I don't have Blu-ray, I don't want Blu-ray. I still like my records.
I know.
But,
let's just stick together, Mark. We'll just try to hold time by the shirt tails and pull it back.
I will tell you, it took me a long, long time to go from records to CDs. It took me even longer to go from videotapes to DVDs. And I still have a BlackBerry. So that tells you all you're going to need to know.
That's right. That's right, darling. Well, guess what I have? I have an old cranking record player that plays 78s. Which I have some of.
So do I. I have some 78s as well. But none of them have the Motels on them. Martha, was a pleasure to meet you today.
It was such an honor. I'm so glad it worked out, Mark.
Me too. I'm ecstatic that we get to talk. So hope we talk again sometime.
Okay, darling. Well, I hope I see you. Am I going to see you back there?
Are you going to be coming to Boston?
Yes, I am. Johnny D's right before it closes.
Ooh, I'm going to try to get there then.
Sweet. Okay, darling.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.